Joshua chapter number 14. And when you find out, I want you to go to Numbers chapter 13. I was, Brother Barry had called about 9 o'clock last night and was talking to me about preaching. And I know, I told him, I said, well, I know you're going to be going in revival next week. And I wouldn't say I'm going to be working, so I wouldn't get to preach. So probably a good thing he went ahead and just got me this week. And I know I heard about the service on Sunday, and I appreciate the good report of Brother Jacob and Brother Mike getting to preach there. And I praise the Lord for that. But Joshua chapter number 14 and Numbers 13. We'll try to get into it here just a little bit. Lord willing, I won't be before you too long, but we'll just see what the Lord's got for us. And we do want to mind the Lord and just to be in His will. I want to start off with Joshua chapter number 14. Probably two of my favorite characters in all of the Bible. And I really shouldn't have said characters because these was real live men. These were real live men. And I was thinking about that this afternoon, Brother Matt, and we've talked about it. And even the book that some of you may have, Sunday school teachers got them, I've got them, Brother Barry's got them. But the mistake that we're making in our Sunday school and in our churches is calling these Bible stories. These are not stories. These are real live events. These are real live factual, and that's where we make a mistake, is when we say, well, we're going to have a Bible story. Well, yeah, so was the prince and the pauper. So was three little pigs. They're stories. So we don't want to get our young people thinking, well, here's the creation. It must be a story. It must be, it must be like the three little pigs. We want them to get to know these were real, actual facts. This was the truth, and that's what I like about it. And even Miss Paul Sue in Vacation Bible School, let's change it from story time, Bible time or something. But I just throw that little nugget in there, and we'll think about that for next year, won't we, Brother Matt? Amen. You even helped me there. But I appreciate it. Joshua chapter number 14, as we stand at our feet, like I said, two men in the Bible. But I want to touch on one, but I really want, at about 10 o'clock this morning when I woke up, and praise the Lord, I got to sleep till 10. Some of y'all were up early. But at 10 o'clock this morning, I was laying there in the bed. I was thinking, Brother, what am I going to preach? And there was a man that came to my heart. And I really, probably one of my favorite men in all of the Bible that I kind of deal with. But Joshua chapter number 14, and I do know what time it is, so you pray for me, all right? Verse number 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua to Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as was in my heart. Now I'm going to stop when I read these and I'm going to give you four statements I want to just drive home to you. All right? And that was that first thing. I brought him word again that was in my heart. You think about that one, all right? Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Here's the second one. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years. So he's 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, here's the next statement. Give me this mountain. There's the next statement. What he was saying right there. I told you, I brought him word again. And the second thing, I wholly followed the Lord. And this one said, I want it. Give me that mountain. He's saying, I want that mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able. There's the fourth one. I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Thank you. You may be seated. I know I look a little different tonight, but for some reason, my contacts are somewhere. Either back in my head, or I rubbed them out last night. So these were Noah's. These were Noah's glasses, so I just inherited them. So I apologize for that. If you don't want to look, you don't have to look at me. All right. But Joshua, I want to look just a little bit. If you'll go all the way back with me now to Numbers, I want you to really think about them. I want you to really think about them statements. Maybe you underline them, maybe you wrote them down. But I want to bring them in to the message and really think about those four statements that Caleb had made, and that's who we're going to be dealing with, is Caleb. Now, you've heard this before. Altitude. Let's see, how am I going to say? Right. How was it? I had it this morning. Altitude determines your attitude. Attitude determines altitude. And so I want to look tonight at the altitude of Caleb. All right? And notice what kind of attitude he had, all right? I should have wrote that down. Attitude determines altitude. But I want to look at the altitude of Caleb. Now, what got me thinking about it, at 10 o'clock this morning, as I was laying there, and I was thinking, okay, RBT, what's the church going through? This month, we've been thinking about souls, and we've been really driving home the emphasis, seeing people saved, and seeing more people witnessing. I'll just be honest with you, we've just not done that over the years and really put the emphasis that we should in souls like we have this last month, in the last two or three months, excuse me. And excitement in the church. I mean, it is just unreal, the excitement. I wake up and I think, man, I stand back and I think, what else? What else? And I want to keep asking, what else? When you come back Sunday, you ought to expect something. And expect something greater and bigger in the outreaches that we have here. But that should be your attitude.
Right.
And if you've got a good attitude, RBT, and I'm not talking about us members.
Yeah.
And I appreciate Brother Stout, once you're a member, hey, you get in this thing and go forward with it and have a good attitude. Because it's going to be the attitude of the members of this church. It's going to take us to an altitude,
right,
hey, that's far reaching.
Sure.
And Caleb had that altitude, and you'll see it here in just a minute. But I want you to turn to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. And just give you a little, three-point outline here. And then still trying to hold your place there in Joshua. Please don't lose it, just like I did. But in Numbers 13, I want you to look at verse number 6. Y'all, most people knows the story. If you knew convert, really grasp this the account, this Bible truth that we're learning here, that God had allowed them to send some spies to spy out Canaan land. Now, if you'll recall with me, it was already land that God had promised them.
Right.
All they had to do is go in and claim them. But through all the murmuring and the complaining, we just don't think we're going to be able to do it. Well, God said, go ahead. Send some spies in. Now, what happened, most people know this, what happened was that two of them, Joshua and Caleb, like I said, it's two of my favorite men that I like to study after, I like to hear preaching on, I like to hear Sunday school teaching on, is to these two individuals. But you know, Joshua, he come back and said, we can do it. Caleb, he come back. He said, I'll agree with you, brother Joshua. I know there's some great walls. The company come back. The rest of them, they come back with a very bad report. Said, we can't do it. Got great walls. They got big strong people. There's even giants in the land. Now, these two, the minority, they come back and said, oh, we're able. We've got a God. And I can hear one of them saying now, we've got a God that's already promised that land to us. If He's promised us that land, we said He said we was able to take it. He said it's ours for the taking. We just go in and claim it, just like the victorious Christian life. There's a many of people, and I'm afraid to say there's probably people sitting here tonight that has not reached that victorious Christian living, that victorious Christian life, that Canaan life experience that God's already promised all of us, and we've not got there yet. You know, Moses, that man of God, that great man of God, he was only able to take them so far. And something I wrote down here this afternoon is just thinking about some things. But Moses just was able to take them right to the edge. Because of his disobedience, he couldn't go into the land. He was like the law. The law only was that schoolmaster that had lead us. Only could take us so far. But then there had to be a new leader come on the scene. There had to be a Joshua, an Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ. What the law couldn't do, Jesus come and He said, I'll take them on. I'll take them into a victorious Christian living. But I want to get into Caleb. In verse number 6, you'll find out the tribe of Judah. Judah being a type of praise. And that was that, you know, that's that great lineage that the Lord Jesus Christ come out of. Hey, the tribe of Judah, Caleb. And you know, when I got to looking up his daddy's name, probably didn't say it right, but Jephthah. You know what his name means? If I can find it. He will be prepared. You know, and they don't say much about daddy, Jephthah. But you know, I just can't help to think that if Caleb was born to Mr. J here, I can't help but think maybe he was looking at his, thinking about his son. And knowing that God in his lineage, there was going to be a little boy born to him. His name was Caleb. And he was going to use Caleb one of these days. He will be prepared. There was some things that Caleb was going to be able to do. He was going to be able to go with Joshua, go into the land of Canaan. I'm going to prepare him. I'm going to get Caleb prepared. Hey, I don't know. It's just thinking there. I don't know if that's really the truth. But he will be prepared. Maybe looking down and seeing Caleb was going to be born. But I want to get right into it. I want you to notice his declaration. The declaration. As we was looking back, and I'll probably go back to Joshua chapter 14 now. But I want to just kind of get you where they spied out the lamb. His declaration. When he come back, and I've done mentioned this, but when he come back, you know that the majority of the crowd, you know, they always say majority rules, but in this case, majority better not have ruled. But the majority on here, they had to, when they got to wandering in the wilderness, you know, they died out. Only save Joshua and Caleb and all the ones under 20 years old. So young people, if you're under 20 years old and you was wandering out of the wilderness, you didn't have to worry about dying. Those of us over 20, 21 and on up, hey, if we'd have been there, hey, we'd have walked around till we died. We wouldn't have got to experience the great, wonderful Canaan life experience. And you know, that's a shame. That the minority of a church. And I hope that's not true about Rochelle Baptist Temple. But do you realize that a minority in this church, what is it, 2 out of 12 in the company here? 2 out of 12, 2 out of 13? 2 of them. Wouldn't that be a shame that only minority of the people here at the church would experience it? I know we're an unusual church, but why can't we be just so unusual and so abnormal with the whole mess of us, the whole crowd of us, would be like Caleb and come back and declare we're well able. If God be for us, who can be against us? We come back and said, hey, we are able. He came back and declared, he came back with truthfulness, Brother Frankie. He came back with honesty. I know the walls look big. I seen them myself. I know there's giants in the land. I know that there's strong people. I know we look like grasshoppers amongst them giants. Hey, but it wasn't the giants. You know, you heard the statement. It wasn't them giants. It was us as grasshoppers that was the big problem. It was our flesh. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we are able through Jesus Christ, because we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We are well able with God as our leader. We're able to take it. Hey, it's ours for the claiming. Let's take it. But you know what, Caleb? He just believed the Word of God. Why don't we? Why can't we get in an altitude, an attitude like Caleb? And just first of all, just believe the Word. We're able. That's what he declared. And then he went. Not only did he believe the Word, we believe the Word till our heads fall off. But if we don't believe the Word and then act upon it and obey His will, you can believe all you want to. But when you're a doer of the Word, not just a hearer, but when you become a doer of the Word, God forgive me, because I know where you're speaking to me right now, but being obedient to what God tells you to do. All right? He had to come back and declared it. And realizing, unbelief kills a lot of people. You know, and I believe, I've said this so many times, I believe some of the saddest words in all the Bible, and it'll be the sad words right here at RBT if we don't get a bunch of faith, just believe God. Yeah. I believe right now our pastor is in the prime of his ministry. Sure. I believe that, and I've told people this. I said he's preached and he's had struggles and he's had people to get right there in his face. He said the other day that he's got a vision. Remember what he said about the church out there? Hey, he's not having anybody blocking his vision.
Man.
I believe he's got a bunch of us.
Yes,
I believe he's got a church that's moved back out of the way. And our pastor, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, is finally getting a vision of where our church is needing to go. And let's get beside him, get behind him. Let's not get in the way. Let's let God do the leading now. The declaration, he said, we're well able. Unbelief looks at the giants. Faith looks at God. Unbelief depends on man's common sense. Faith rests wholly on the Word of God. Because of their unbelief, God issued that declaration. And I didn't give you that scripture. I seen it written down here. But some of the saddest words that will be in this church. He did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. I think it's some of the saddest words are in Matthew chapter 13. Every time I read that, I think, man, that's sad. I don't want that in my heart. I don't want that in my home. I don't want that in my house of God. I want it to be. But he come back, declared, hey, you going to have a good altitude? You going to rise up to a higher level, RBT? You going to rise up to a higher altitude, Seaboat family? You going to rise up, oh Brother Craig, to a higher level in your Christian life and in your church? And you want to be what God wants you to be? Hey, have a good attitude. Just believe God. It's there for the claiming. Just be like Caleb and said, I want that mountain as I jump ahead. I want that mountain. Yeah. Hey, that mountain high. You want a higher mountain, you want a higher plane. Get a good altitude.
Good.
How do we do it? Hey, we're going to learn from Caleb. But I want to go on and I want to get away from the declaration. But I really wasn't spending time on first and second one, but I want you to look at his dedication. The declaration, he come back and said, hey, let's do it. And you know, even there, and I think it's on back in Numbers 13 where he stilled the people. You know, here they were just like, talking and talking and talking. He said, stop! Hush! Shut up! Let me tell you, what are y'all complaining about? We're able to do it. God's our helper. He's the one leading us. We can do it. Hey, he stilled the people. It's what the Bible said. He stilled the people. Told them to just keep your mouth shut. But guess what? They interrupted and they just kept on going. Kept on murmuring. Just about, they had to be Baptists. But the dedication. I want you to look six times. I won't deal with this because I've dealt with this before. But dedication. His devotion he had for the Lord. In Numbers 14, I'm going to give them to you. You can just write these down. In Numbers 14, I give you another statement there in Joshua chapter number 14. That first statement, he said, he brought out everything that was in his heart. That what was in his heart, and that's probably some of the important stuff that I was supposed to give you. But he brought back, look there in verse number, in Joshua 14 there it says, In verse number 7, I brought him word again, as is in my heart. What's in your heart? Hey, if it's in your heart, you're going to want to tell about it. For the out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If it's in your heart, it's going to come out your mouth. And if expectancy and excitement's in your church, you're going to go tell it, Miss Shannon, just like you did. Hey, if there's excitement, I hate to say it, and I know the pastor said this before too, there was time here at RBT, I didn't want to tell nobody where I went to church at. There was problems, there was disunity, there was division. Hey, I almost said I was Jehovah's Witness because I was afraid, and I didn't really. But I mean, you ought to be proud about your church. But there was a time I could not invite people to our church. And that, you know, and that's sad. But I'm glad we can now. So let's just take it. Let's take that opportunity. Lord, forgive me again. Let's take that opportunity to be the witness and bring these people in, because we're right here at the prime of Rogersville Baptist Temple. Formed in 1976, 77, right in that area. And this church has been packed to capacity. And I was here, Miss Paul Sue, some of us was here little. But I really believe, far as truth and Bible preaching, the singing, it's all set. Preacher said it. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to get in the way, get run over? Or are we going to get behind and get left? God help us. But I want you to notice the devotion. In Numbers 14, this was said about Caleb. The Lord said, had followed me fully. He had wholeheartedness. And that's what Caleb was all about. The wholeheartedness. He was devoted to God. Hey, we're going to declare the Word of God, but we're going to do it with a whole heart. You want to follow the Lord, young converts, you that just got saved, I want you to listen to me. Now that you're saved, you just make up your mind right now. God's done so much for me since I've been saved. And He's done so much for you. Why don't you just make up your mind right now that if God's done all that for me, I want to do all I can for Him. I want to just follow Him wholeheartedness. And that's the way Caleb did. Hey, this year I'll be saved 30 years. And I'm just like a roller coaster, Brother Frankie. I'm up and down. I'll serve Him with my whole heart, and then I'll be so down. I'll get back up, and I'll be have a good altitude, and keep doing, going great for the Lord, and I'll come back down. I'll say, keep going. Just keep going all the way to glory with that wholeheartedness, devotion, dedication. But in Numbers 32 and 12, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord was talking about Joshua and Caleb. In Deuteronomy 1:36, He hath wholly followed the Lord. The Lord said that. You know, and that's a blessing when the Lord will say that about you. I want you to look at this one. In Joshua 14:8, Caleb was saying this. He said, but I wholly followed the Lord. There in verse number 8, you read it. I wholly followed the Lord. That's that second statement. I wholly followed the Lord.
Right.
Caleb said that about himself. Now, a lot of people say, well, he's bragging on him. See, he was arrogant. He was cocky.
Right.
He said, I'm the one doing it. But he knowed where his help come from. He knows where the Lord. He gave the Lord praise, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us.
Right.
I believe old Caleb could say. But I want you to look at that. Not only he said it about himself, but look in Joshua 14 and 9, verse number 9. Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. Moses said it. Oh, it's good if you can say it about yourself and trying to, you know, be a humble spirit. But when the man of God, Moses was that leader. Boy, I want more than anything. And I know I failed my pastor so many times. But when my pastor could say, you know, Brother Craig, he stays faithful. He tries to wholly follow the Lord. And Moses was that man of God. That Moses was that so-called pastor.
Right.
But in Joshua 14 and verse 14, look at what Joshua said, because he wholly followed the Lord. Hey, his brother in Christ, Joshua. Hey, you said about yourself, but the man of God will say it. But it's also good when the brothers and sisters,
yeah.
Old Brother Craig tries to be faithful. Is all he can be. Can we say that about you? Can you say that about me? Can the man of God say that about you? Hey, that man of God's got to give an account for the way he leads this church. But you know what? We as a congregation is going to give an account of how we follow that man. Hey, if that man leads us wrong, hey, it's not us. God will bless us for following that man. He leads us wrong, He'll give an account. He'll have to answer for it. Now, we're clear. We're just following the Lord. But it's also even a bigger blessing when just three other times, majority of the time, the Lord was saying, "You know, Caleb followed the Lord. He wholly followed me." But I want to look at the determination. Declaration, devotion, or dedication, and determination. I want to bring in that third statement. He said, I talked to Moses about this. He said, "O Hebron, that mountain over there, I want it." And said, "Now we've come across the Jordan. We've got into the land that we're supposed to claim. But I want the mountain. That's all I want in life." Caleb's saying, "Give me that mountain, that Hebron. And I'll give you Hebron here in just a minute. We'll look at it." He had a determination or desire, as preacher was talking about. He said, "I want it." That he wanted to claim that mountain. There's some things going on here at RVT. There's some mountains that we're going to have to desire. There's going to be some mountains that we're going to have to just be determined. It looks like a mountain. It's out there. And if we're going to reach any altitude, hey, we're going to have the mountain. We're going to have to get the mountain. We're going to have to claim the mountain. Hey, let me bring it down to a personal life. There may be some different mountains in your life. You know, maybe unknown paths, unanswered prayers, unsaved people. You know, maybe some of these mountains that you need to claim for God. Have a determination. RBT, let's be determined. Let's have an altitude like Caleb. Have a determination. I want the mountain. I've got to have the mountain. And you know, and I got to thinking about Hebron. You know, in Hebron, it's that good place of fellowship. And that's where I've got to be. We've all got to be in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be there. And that's typically what he was wanting. In spiritually speaking, Caleb said, I want to get to Hebron. But we are to say, I want to get to Hebron because I want to be in the fellowship of the Lord. There's no greater... Brother Frank, I know you know as well as I know, there's no greater joy than to be in the fellowship with the Lord. When you're out of fellowship with God, you're miserable. You'll try to look to the world for all the answers. You'll try to look for just temporary satisfaction. But I'm standing here and telling you. Because to be honest with you, at 9 o'clock last night, I wasn't in really good fellowship with the Lord. Really. And I had to find myself. And I know it's God saying, "Okay, brother, or son," he called me son. He said, "Hey, you're in the pulpit tomorrow night. I'm going to get you a place where I at least try to use you. And try to be a help. And I know I'm stumbling and trying to get something out here. Hey, but I want us to get it. I want us to do something for God." And this church is at the greatest point to get to an altitude that can keep soaring.
Yes, sir.
Keep soaring. Going above the mountains. Getting in those eagles. I mean, just getting on those wings of eagles.
Yeah.
And keep soaring higher. And getting higher. Have determination. But there was also not only in his determination, the claiming of the mountains, but I want you to notice that fourth statement he said, "Then I shall be able to drive them out." Who was he talking about? He was talking about them old giants. You know, there's going to be a problem. And any time, I'll be honest with you, you know this well as I know, any time you're going to go forward for God, any time you've got a mountain you're going to claim for God, there's going to be giants in there. There's going to be some obstacles. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be something blocking you that's going to try to keep you from going. Just like old Satan, Miss Susan. You know, just trying to say you're a failure. Hey, why go? You know, that giant of, you know, why be faithful to church? That giant was in your way. I just want to, just for the fun of it, it's not really the fun of it, but I want to give you this, and really this is, I give credit where credit's due. When I give something like this, I want to give the credit where it's due. I want you to look at chapter 15 and verse number 14. I want you to look at these. It's blessed my heart even when I studied a skeleton of, I think it's Brother Ronnie Simpson, I'm not sure, I think it's one of them. And I got to looking at it, this is one of them, he gave me a skeleton, I'm going to try to put the meat there. I'm going to try my best. But I'm going to give you his outline and the names here. All right? I hope y'all don't, if y'all got a problem with that, take it up to the Lord. Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshiah, Hyman, and Talmai. I did preach this somewhere else, and I got a blessing out of it. But I believe we'll listen just to the names of these giants. I believe it'll bless us. And again, they give me the skeleton, I'm going to try to put the meat there. It's just determination. Conquering those giants. There's giants that's going to get in the way of us getting to the altitude that we need to get. And I just want you to listen to them. And then I'll be done. But look at Anak. That's the daddy of the group. Anakims. His name means to strangle. To choke. Yeah, you write this down. You study that later. Anak means to strangle, to choke. And what this pastor said was doubt will strangle out faith. What did I say? I've done it for a while ago, before I got to this point, about unbelief. It'll hurt a church. It'll be unbelief. And going around and saying, what is that preacher talking about again? He knows that we cannot do this. He knows we cannot do that. What's he going down and taking us this path? It'll be that unbelief. It'll be that murmuring. That'll be that complaint. But Anak means to strangle or to choke, where doubt strangles faith. So it's one of these things when old Anak, Brother Frankie, he comes up to you and he says, I can't believe that preacher. He's leading that church in the wrong path. What you need to do, Brother Frankie, is just take him right over to this door and say, Mr. Anak, you get out the door.
Yeah.
We don't have time for Anak.
Yeah.
We don't have time for your kind around here.
Right.
And take all your little buddies with you. Right. Because we don't want no doubt. We don't have time. Jesus is right on the verge of coming back.
Right.
And our church don't have time for doubters.
Right.
Hey, if you're doubting God, you're doubting the vision of this church, right here's a good place. I should say we'll just go somewhere else. But we want you right with the Lord. We want you to get right, get saved, whatever it is. But I want you to also, Sheshiah means whitish or to turn pale. Compromises, strangles convictions. Compromising will strangle convictions. Hey, how many times as a man of God, how many times have you and I, how many times we've had our conviction? And it's been told to us, oh Sheshiah, he comes up. Hey, you drop that conviction, you're going to go somewhere for God. You drop him conviction, you'll have your boyfriend. Brother David, you drop them convictions. You compromise. You just kind of wobble a little bit. Hey, you'll go far in life. You know what you need to do? Go to this door. Say, oh, Mr. Sheshiah, it's time for you to leave. We don't have time for compromising in the house of God anymore. We don't have time for doubting in the house of God. So we done got Daddy and one of the other little giants, we done got them out the door. Let's see if we can't get rid of the other two. Hyman, if I'm saying this correct, Hyman means portion. Apathy. Apathy strangles desires. How many times? And the man of God preached it. I had listed by CD. I was working. But he preached a point just the other day on the hindrances of evangelism. And one of those hindrances was apathy. And you know, what did apathy mean? You know, lack of interest, a lack of emotion. You know, and I like to put it like this way, preacher. I just don't care. And that's basically what you're saying. So what? So what if Caden and Amanda's not saved? That's what this giant's telling us. So what if they're not saved? They've got plenty of time.
Come on,
I don't care.
Yeah.
I just really don't care. What about our young people? You know, just doing your own thing. Say, no, I don't care. What about the preacher? You know, needing to, you know, just watering it down and compromise. What about all these other churches out here that are dead and dried up and there's no life in them? The singers could get up and there's no spirit about them. And there's no life in it. Why should I care? It ought to be our desires. Apathy will strangle out your desires. Those desires, we ought to have desires. What is your desires? What desires do you want to see at Rogersville Baptist Temple? Hey, this ought to be the greatest church in the world, as far as I'm concerned, it is. I mean, we've got problems, and you know, we've not reached our yet. We're not home yet, I'll say. Until we get there, what's our desires? Let's not get an I don't care attitude and get so apathetic that it'll strangle out our desires. You know what you need to do? What do you do, Brother Frankie? Show a hymen. Say, you go with your daddy. Ain't that? She's shy. You follow him on down the road. Because we don't have time for I don't care people. And if you're an I don't care people, right here is the altar. Let's get them right. Tell me, ridge, bank, terrace, furrow. That's what that means. Let me give you this one. Trials, strangles, progress. Trials. Now this one is touchy. Because a lot of times God will bring trials in your life, get you to where you need to be. Get you to the place where you be conformed like Jesus. You know, He's predestined you to be conformed to be God. And there's sometimes God will put trials in your life to get you to mature, get you complete. But the trials that we may face, it's going to strangle, it's going to stunt progress if we don't handle them right. And old Talmai, he'll come up and say, look at the trial you're in. Here you are, you're trying to progress for God. Brother Stallard just joined the church. Him and Miss Mary, they're now part of the church. Brother Frankie, they're progressing. Let's see. Old Talmai decides he's going to put you a roadblock in your way to stunt your progress. It's how we handle those trials. And how we looked at obstacles, say, oh, I get around it, I'll go over it, I'll run right through it. I'm going to keep progressing for God. So what we do with Old Town, yeah, Brother Stallard, we'll open the door, say, Annex gone, she's shy, has gone, the hymen's gone, it's your turn. We don't have time for these giants at RBT.
That's right.
Altitude of Caleb. And that was, hey, he said, I will drive them out. And that's what we're going to do here at RBT. Those giants that we walk to the door, may we do it. Under the leadership of our pastor and the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to show them the door. How's your altitude? May we grow stronger in the Lord.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.